Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Retired U.S. Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens is calling for a repeal of the Second Amendment. Huh. Unlike Stevens, 5,895 policymakers, men and women, need to have an actual vote in the matter. They're talking about the state and federal legislators. It's not easy to amend the Constitution. It takes time, and it takes a lot of people to agree with your position on this, but he feels that that amendment doesn't serve us these days. And I think all of us would agree that the thing is vague. We won't all agree on how we should rewrite it, but you've got to admit, the problem is not that we disagree, it's that we don't even know what they meant. Joining us now on WGN Radio is the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson. President Jefferson, welcome back to the show.
Good day to you, citizen.
I hope your memory is better than mine, and you've been dead for a couple of hundred years, but do you ever do that? You go to a restaurant? Did they even have nice restaurants back in your day? Could you go out with your wife or maybe the Adams before you guys fell out? Would there be a restaurant experience for you all like there was or is for us?
No, we would have dinner parties where there would be a couple, both men and women, but at a pub, at a tavern or a restaurant, men would dine separately.
Hmm. And were there nice restaurants? Like they would say, did you hear that new place over by the Capitol? We should go by there. I hear it's really nice. They got a great fish.
There were in Paris. I spent 5 years there. And, you know, that's where I first saw dumbwaiters. They had these food elevators. The food was cooked down in the kitchen, and then it was put on a food elevator, a dumbwaiter, and then hand-cranked up to the actual restaurant dining area. And I thought this was so ingenious that when I came back, I installed similar sorts of gimcracks and devices at Monticello and in the White House.
That was seen as high-tech, huh?
Oh, I was thrilled. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but at Monticello, in the dining room, there is a wine dumbwaiter that I could open a little secret door at the hearth, and then there were shelves, and I could pull up bottle after bottle of Burgundy or Bordeaux or Montepulciano from the cellar.
Do you agree with my suggestion that the problem isn't that we disagree about how we should handle guns in America, but that the founding fathers themselves were so vague about it, it's a terrible blueprint for us today?
Yes, that's why I suggested in a letter to Madison from France that we tear up the Constitution once every 19 or 20 years so that we can go back and clarify those things that the founding fathers didn't anticipate or things that they wrote so vaguely that people have no real understanding of what their full intention was. And so I think that's a very important part of this. And I should tell you as a historical note that when Mr. Madison championed the Bill of Rights in the first Congress of the United States, and by the way, he got himself elected as a congressman from Virginia just for that purpose, when he brought the Bill of Rights to the Congress, there was almost no debate about it. This was seen as a sort of slap to the anti-federalists, a kind of a document to quiet opposition to the new Constitution. And there was not significant debate about the First Amendment, the Second, the Fourth, the Fifth, the Ninth. And if there had been debate, I don't think the Bill of Rights would have come out of the first Congress quite as it did.
If I ask you questions about the Second Amendment, you'll answer them. But you're not the voice of the founding fathers per se. That is, would Washington or Monroe or some of them give me different answers?
Madison would. You know, I'm having dinner with the Madisons tonight at a very nice pub in Charlottesville. I can ask him. Mr. Madison would be the person to talk to because he's the one who wrote the Second Amendment.
Yeah, but I mean, but that understood. But my guess is that your criticism of the Bill of Rights or the duration of the Constitution today, I'm wondering if they would agree with you, both in principle that we shouldn't hang on to a 200-some-year-old document, but also that specifically the Second Amendment needs to be interpreted one way. Would you all get into the same argument there that we get into here is my question. President Jefferson. Answer that in just a second. And I want you to call in, too. We don't always make time for you to call or text to TJ, but the number's 312-981-7200 if you'd like. 312-981-7200. Thomas Jefferson joins us on stage frequently in Chicago. Those are sellout shows. We had to call him today after Justice Stevens said we ought to get rid of the Second Amendment or redo it. Third President of these United States, Thomas Jefferson, is on the phone, not the author of the Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence. So back to my question, President Jefferson, would you all get into the same argument then that we do today about who should have guns and so forth?
No, and let me say that historically speaking, the Second Amendment was intended for one purpose, and that was not to have a permanent standing army in a free society. The Bill of Rights was something that was written largely for the people who were frightened of the new Constitution. And one of the things we had learned from history was that a standing army, by which I mean a permanent army and a permanent navy, those things are very expensive and they're often ruinous to human liberty. And so we wanted a militia system, Minutemen, you know, a people's army. And we did not want, at that point in American history, to have the kind of permanent military establishment that you now have. And so the Second Amendment said people have a right to keep and bear arms because they're going to be that militia. So those historical circumstances have changed. I don't think the debate would be the same in my time as it is in yours.
Lots of calls and texts for you. Are you ready to go, sir?
Yes, sir.
This texter says, from 630, could you please ask Jefferson if the president could lie time after time in his days? Was there anything like that?
You know, we didn't do that. I do believe in transparency in government. Of course, my private life was not messy, and I never spoke anything without using grammar or a complete sentence. But it is true that all executives of great nations have to fib sometimes to protect our troops in the field or to protect very sensitive foreign policy negotiations.
Yeah.
But lying about one's life is not, I think, a sign of adequate character in a republic.
Well, where you know, so the president is caught in a he said, she said right now. Hamilton was truthful about his affair, and you were about one of your relationships. You never said anything about Sally Hemings, but you were straight up about Maria Causeway, right?
No, it was a woman named Betsy Walker.
Oh, pardon me.
I had flirted with her in a way that was not proper, and the only reason I ever talked about it was that it nearly became a duel. And of course, that's worse than the kind of lawsuit that's being threatened against the current president. But when I was really put in the process of maybe moving towards dueling grounds, I decided, since I believe dueling is insane, to admit that as a young and single man, I had offered love to a handsome woman and she had rejected it.
So, in fact, you never consummated that relationship?
I can neither confirm nor deny that, but I did say, and this is very carefully coded language, when young and single, I offered love to a handsome woman, I regret its consequences.
Maybe instead of lawsuits, when we have these sorts of things, we should just bring back dueling. Just say, listen.
I think the former Vice President Joe Biden has just challenged the president to a duel, has he not?
Yeah, I was disappointed in the former Vice President for that. I don't know that anybody wins when they get into the mud, you know?
Well, you know, my Vice President, Aaron Burr, killed Hamilton in a duel. So here's the sitting Vice President of the United States, Aaron Burr, meeting at the dueling grounds at Weehawken, New Jersey in July of 1804, and he shot in cold blood the former Secretary of the Treasury. So we were certainly a more violent people than you are.
I'm going to read you two consecutive text messages that both use the word tyrannical. You're talking about having guns to overthrow or keep us from having tyrannical governments. It says, we do know what the Founding Fathers meant. Our right to bear arms prevents a tyrannical government, which seems more possible than ever these days. And the next texter from 708 area code says, should we still fear a tyrannical government? I just don't think bearing arms to keep us from having a tyrannical government makes any sense. They have tanks. The United States Army will win. I just don't see how rational or relevant that is.
Yeah, the second question, I think, is more polite than the first one. I would ask the person who sent in the first text, to do some careful reading about the purposes of the Second Amendment and the debate such as it was that occurred around it. Of course we want to avoid having a tyranny, and of course the people have the right to revolution. But that was not the intention of the Second Amendment. If it were the intention of the Second Amendment, the first clause about the militia would not be there, and there probably would be a statement about the right to revolution.
Well, did we have the Second Amendment to protect my right to have a gun to defend myself from a robber, say, or from somebody who wants to mug me, somebody's going to harm me? I want to have a gun to defend myself. Was that what you all intended?
No, that's not what we intended, but we certainly would agree with that. I think that people have a right to have such defensive weapons in their homes to protect themselves from home invasion. That would be more important in my time because we had no significant police forces in the country.
Okay, but then if I was
guns, but that wasn't the purpose of the Second Amendment.
Well, if we were going to redo the Second Amendment today, what would your advice be to us?
My advice would be this: to have a careful and robust national debate about order and disorder, violence and security, and then to ask yourself if the kind of weapons that I'm talking about, a musket that took 40 seconds to reload, in other words, a single shot weapon that took 35 or 40 seconds to reload, can be compared really to a semi-automatic weapon or a semi-automatic pistol in your time. It seems to me that those technologies must be factored in before you blindly assume that the Second Amendment means the same thing in your time as it meant in mine.
I understand that, but the principle of the Founding Fathers, whatever that means, if we had a new constitutional convention and we said, okay, you've got to be 21 and you can't own an automatic weapon and you can only own one or two guns. I mean, if we had whatever kinds of restrictions we put on gun ownership, would that be a violation in your estimation of the spirit of the Second Amendment or the Constitution or what the Founding Fathers had in mind?
No, and just keep in mind that if I hadn't insisted upon it and if Madison hadn't done it, there would be no Bill of Rights and there wouldn't be this debate. Every country has hunting rifles and pistols and so on. The United States has a unique obsession with guns, partly because of our violent past, but also because of the Second Amendment. It's arguable that the Second Amendment is a historical fossil that would not be reconstructed if you could blank the minds of the American people. In other words, they love it now because it's part of the heritage of the country, but if you weren't America, it might not be invented in the 21st century.
Well, if we wrote it, I just wish you would have called, because I would have said, okay, what do you mean by the right to bear arms in order to maintain a well-regulated militia? I mean, that was germane then, but if you guys would have thought past my nose, you would have realized that the country will get bigger and more prosperous. It's quite possible we will have an army the way England in your day did. And so what do we, the more important question is, what does it say about personal ownership of guns? And it doesn't specifically speak to that, or at least not sufficiently, not adequately, it does not.
Yes, I think people should have a rational conversation about this, but I don't think there can be a rational conversation in America at the moment.
By the way, Tom has a question for you. Hi, Tom. You're on WGN Radio with Thomas Jefferson.
Hello there.
Hey.
Mr. Jefferson, if we were to tear up the Constitution every 20 years, the first time we would do it would be right after you finished your term in office and Madison was coming in. What changes would you make?
Oh, I would have done many changes. I would have limited the number of terms that any national officer could serve. I would have made it impossible for Supreme Court justices and other jurists to serve for life. I would have had a balanced budget amendment requiring the country to balance its budget unless in a time of absolute international emergency. And I would have had a conscientious objector amendment so that Quakers and other pacifists would not be asked to fight for their country in times of war. Those among the first few changes I might have made.
Thomas Jefferson was the third president of the United States, and he visits within Chicago a couple times a year. I'm going to see you, I think, in August of this year, sir.
I very much look forward to that. I just ask people who are interested or obsessed or passionate about this debate to do some hard reading. It's one thing to have hunches about American history and the Constitution, but it's another thing to really know what you're talking about. And there is a rich literature. And it's nonpartisan. It's not biased in one direction or the other. It's possible to read good books about the history of the Bill of Rights and particularly the Second Amendment. And it seems to me that knowledge is power, that people should want to be well informed before they wade into debates of this sort.
You have a book that you want to recommend, or should I just look for a meaningful tweet out there?
Well, there's a man in your time at Yale called Amil Akbar. Look that book up. It's a history of the Bill of Rights, and it is an outstanding, dispassionate examination of the historical background and the constitutional basis for all of the Bill of Rights.
Amil Akbar. Okay, I'll find that. I'll post a link to it on my Facebook page. Facebook is a... never mind, Mr. Jefferson. I will see you soon. Let's talk in between now and then, though, but thank you for your time this afternoon.
Let us all be rational beings.
That's your third president of the United States, TJ Amil Akbar. Yeah, we'll find the link to that and post it on my Facebook page. Don't tell him this, but on Facebook, I'm WGN King John.